Ohio, and I'm happy to be here tonight. Amen. I'm happy to make that 2.5 hour trip to be here. By God's grace, He protected us, kept us on the road, and I thank God for that. And I pray and I know that He can keep us going home tonight. Please pray for us. My wife is due to have a baby any day, any hour. She's 37 weeks, and she wants it to be the next hour. I know she does. Please just pray for her. Please forgive me. I have to just run up, get back home. I don't want to be 2.5 hours away and get that call that she's going into labor. So, Lord willing, God will bless our time together and give us a great time in His Word. Let's just stand with me. Stand with me in honor of God's Word. We're going to look at Luke chapter 16 tonight. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. There was a certain man, a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Make your word real to us tonight, Lord. Make your word real to us tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, let us see what you have for us to see tonight. Hear what you have for us to hear tonight. Touch us tonight, Lord. Speak to us tonight, Lord. I am in desperate need of your grace. I am in desperate need of your power. I am in desperate need of you to speak through me. I am in desperate need, Lord Jesus. The flesh is weary, the flesh is weak, but your spirit is ever ready to move on us tonight, Lord. If there's someone here tonight that needs to be rebuked, rebuke them tonight. If there's someone here who has forgotten your goodness tonight, remind them, Lord. There's someone here that has forgotten hell is real, remind them tonight, Lord. There's someone that needs to be encouraged, encourage them. There's someone here tonight that needs to be humbled in their pride. Humble them, Lord. Lord, touch. Break our hearts. Break us, Lord. Let us see our deep need for you. Lord, help us tonight. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The man just sung this wonderful song. I'm assuming another brother, Stevens, has just sung a wonderful song about the valley. And then Pastor Lightbrook just came up here and said, why we are here tonight. And that's that one soul will be saved. And when I heard those two thoughts, it reminded me, it just pointed to the message that God put on my heart tonight, that hell is the reason why. The title of our message tonight is, Hell is the Reason Why. I've been on mission now going on, well, I have had the burden of this mission going on 3 years to plant the Lord's church in my community. And the valley of my community is very deep. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sin. Let me give you some stats just by way of introduction. The cohabitation in the black community, the African American community, is 64%. Among African-American young couples. They call it cohabitation, but we call it fornication. And the Bible makes it plain that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. In the African-American community, 25% of young kids are raised by grandma, by granddad. Their parents are not there. Though grandma and granddad may try to do their best, there's nothing like having parents. 65% of young African Americans are raised by single mothers. We have ministered to many of those single mothers in our community. It's hard to overcome what God wants for the family when the family's broken. But beyond all those stats, the gun violence in our community, just in my city, among young African Americans, there was 48 shootings in 28 days. 15 homicides. One happened right down the street from my house on a road called Northdale, where three people were shot in less than 24 hours in the same location. You know what the politicians say? Let's try to get rid of that area. Let's try to move them a little farther west. You know what they say? Let's just throw a little bit more money to make the accommodations more nice. You know what the police say? Let's just stop the violence. But I tell you, my why goes beyond the politicians. My why goes beyond just seeing young black people get married and four homes with moms and dads. It goes beyond that. Why? Because hell is the reason. No matter if somebody has a mama and daddy, a sturdy family, a nice family, where people are making good decisions, not having gun violence, it does not matter. Hell is still real and their soul is in danger. But you know what the devil says? He said it to Eve. You shall surely not die. You know what he's telling this generation? You know what he's telling this world? You shall surely not go to hell. Every person that dies is in heaven. In Hollywood. In entertainment. In sports. In music. Everyone gets the wings on the emojis. Everyone gets the wings on the memes. Everyone gets the moment of just sitting around a seat. I saw one, this horrible rapper, this horrible musician. He did horrible things. He lived a horrible life. But then they showed some pictures of him sitting nice and neatly in heaven. It's a lie from the devil. And you know what his greatest lie to the church? Oh, they shall surely not go to hell. Don't worry about preaching the gospel. They were good people. He had a good heart. He took care of his family. How many funerals have you went to and heard those words? And that man never was a church member. That man never did anything for God. All his life long, he did everything for himself. Everything for his family. Everything for his grandchildren. But he never submitted to God. Yet he was a good person. And he's doing good. Rest in peace. Now today, everybody puts up R-I-H. I wonder if that R-I-H is rest in hell. Because it could be true. We don't have the right to ordain someone in heaven. And we don't have the right to ordain anyone in hell. But hell is a reality. Yep. And it's real. And people are going to hell every day. Every day. Because every day somebody's dying. So tonight, let us take a tour to hell. Let us remind ourselves of one of the greatest reasons we should give our all. We should be concerned for the lost. We should preach the good news of Jesus. I believe as much as the world needs a wake-up call about the reality of hell, so do we. Four reasons tonight. Four reasons, and now I'm done. Four reasons hell is why we must be responsible in Jesus' mission. First reason, hell is filling up. Hell is filling up. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Recognize something here. Death was abrupt. Death is always abrupt. It will never ask you when and where you want to die. Death is not a spectator sport. Death moves and it's over. As Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every man has that appointment. This beggar died with his faith intact and he went to heaven. Praise God. Praise God for that. When death found this beggar, he didn't get a good burial. He didn't get a great burial. Nobody came to see about his burial and how wonderful he was and throw a lot of pomps on him and drive him through the town and lift him high and play music, play bagpipes. No. He died. His life was foul. He was a beggar in the gutter. But you know what? He wasn't foul. His soul wasn't foul. The rich man died in his sins. And instantly he went to hell. It was over. Hell was God's judgment of this man. Why? Not because he was rich. Not because he was rich. But because he broke the law of God. That's why. Because he broke the law of heaven. Do you believe tonight if you break the law of man, you should get a ticket or you should go to jail? Do you believe that? I think most of us do, yes. Everyone kind of believes that, even though we don't like it. You know, but we got to accept it. If we get caught breaking the law of man, we should get a ticket or we should go and pay our penalty. Well, I tell you, if a person breaks the law of heaven, they should go to hell. They will go to hell with no repentance. With no repentance and turning to Jesus, they will go to hell. Right. See, we can get away with breaking the laws of man and not go to jail. I broke the law of man on my, confession is good for the soul. I went 70 miles when it was 55 on my way down here to make sure I was early enough. I broke the law of man today, you know, and I got away with it. But I tell you, no one will break the law of heaven to get away with it. Not a soul. No one would break God's law and get away with it. See, this is why hell is filling up. Because man and woman believe that because they get away with breaking God, man's law, they think they're going to get away with breaking God's law. That is not the case. No one gets away with breaking the law of God. This rich man, with his squeaky clean record, he died. He was buried. Somebody was at his funeral. Probably a Pharisee or a priest. Oh, he was such a holy man. Oh, they had the burial for hours, and they probably ate good chicken afterwards. And, you know, it was a good time. The Bible lets us know he had a burial. But he went to hell. The tragedy today in the world is when death strikes, we judge everyone as going to heaven. This is a scary lie. Hell no longer troubles us. We no longer see it as a threat. It is a threat against your children. It's a threat against your grandchildren. It's a threat against your cousins. It's a threat against your co-workers. It is the greatest threat they could ever imagine. Not the devil, not the policeman, not the White House, not the government, not China. No, none of those things is a greater threat to your children's future than hell. Hell's a great threat. It no longer bothers us, though. No longer. Oh, so many people around us are on their way to hell. Hell is filling up. And you know what? It is never full. Hell will never put up and say, no vacancies. Proverbs 27:20 makes that clear. Let me put some scripture behind this. It says, hell and destruction are never full. That's pretty plain, right? That's plain English. I don't need no Hebrew to understand that. Hell and destruction is never full. Hell didn't stop filling up at Hitler. It didn't stop filling up at Mussolini. It didn't stop filling up at Osama bin Laden. Hell is still filling up today. Hades is a place with endless real estate. We feel like we're running out of room in America. Every day is getting more crowded. We get more people. I tell you one thing, hell would never say it's too crowded. It always has room for a poor sinner who refused and reject the Savior. Hell will never grow full. Droves of sinners are perishing daily. Hell is moving to meet them. Let me put some scripture behind that. Isaiah 14 verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. You die, it's coming. It's no man with no cape. That little death angel that people try to portray. No, no. Hell is moving for the sinner who dies without Christ. Oh, hell is filling up. And that's one reason we should be responsible tonight with the gospel. You know, I thought about my daughter before I came up here. Kids are little germs, okay? They are germ carriers. I said, baby, put this mask in front of your face every time you cough. Because you're doing this, it's not really getting in there. Put the mask up against your face when you cough. You know, we didn't come down here from Cincinnati to give you germs, okay? Germs are everywhere, and everything's labeled COVID these days, and it's real, it's truly a problem. But I believe God's going to protect this building tonight, amen? Kids give out germs. As much as they give out germs, as much as they move, I hate to say it, they are just carriers. They keep it going throughout the school year. We should keep it going with the gospel. Amen. We should keep giving it out. Amen. We should keep providing it. COVID should be a reason for us to give it out even more. Because so many people are even more under a threat of death, right? People are dying from it. These diseases shouldn't make us go to our political positions. It should make us go to our gospel reason. This is death moving out here. Not just a germ, not just a political ideology. Second reason tonight, hell is torment. Hell is torment. Verse 23. The second reason why we should be responsible with the gospel. And in hell he lift up his eyes. Being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The rich man closed his eyes in death and opened his eyes in hell. In death, everything changed. He went from a life of pleasures to a life of pain, torment, and agony. There's three things here I can say about his torment. It's a physical torment. I am tormented in this flame. There's no mercy. There's no mercy in hell. There's no mercy for the sinner who rejects the gospel in hell. Right now, people, right now, at this moment, what time is it? 8:29. At this moment, people in hell are crying out for mercy. And there is none. Right now, this rich man is in hell. And he lifts up his eyes right now. I like the way it says lift. It doesn't say lifted like past tense. No, lift. It's in present tense. Lift up his eyes. He's lifted up his eyes right now, crying out for mercy. And there is none. It's a physical torment. I tell you, the human body, we hate pain, don't we? Oh, we hate pain. America spends billions of dollars each year to stop pain. We want to stop our pain. We are addicted to stopping our pain. We want, if it's back pain, oh Lord, break pain. We're praying more than we used to pray, right? Every man in the house can say amen when the back pain comes on. And even the woman, my wife is going through some back pains with this heavy boy she's raising and bringing into this world. Back pain makes you want to cry out. Tooth pain makes you want to cry out. We'll pay whatever price to stop the pain. Oh, but there will be no pain pills in hell. There will be no numbing agent in hell. There is no water to put out the flame in hell. Matthew, Jesus made it plain. Matthew 13:42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This will be the hottest heat mankind will ever endure. Some people say, I've been through hell. I sympathize with people who say that, but I really want to say, no, you do not know what you're saying. One day of pain in this life cannot compare. 1 hour, well, 1 year, 10 years of pain in this life cannot compare to 1 second in hell. There's no amount of pain in your life that can even compare to what's coming if you reject Christ and go to hell. It's a physical pain. Second, it's a psychological pain. He's living with memories. He said, but Abraham said, Abraham looked at him and he said this, son, remember. Yes, the mind still works in hell. There's no soul sleep. You're not sleeping. You're crying. You're remembering the reminder that you threw away the gospel. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. The mind is tormented by the constant memory of wasted time. The memories of throwing heaven away for sin will gnaw on the mind forever. All the time wasted on lesser things than God. All the sins committed against other people. I pray there's no hard hearts here tonight, but if there's soft hearts in the building, you can understand what I'm about to say. It resonates with what I'm about to say to you. When you do somebody wrong, does something just eat you alive for a minute that you just wish you dealt with that situation better? That you can't sleep and you just like, I gotta talk to that person to make this right? And you just get it off your chest, and it's just a lovely thing. Or you ever been in a situation you didn't do good at witnessing to that person? And you walk away from that witness and say, man, I should have said more. I should have said this and this and this. Why was I so cowardly? And you can't wait to see that person again, right? To correct that wrong. To correct that witness. I tell you, it's a relief to be able to correct it. It's a relief to be able to say what you really need to say to that person. Or really to apologize to that person. In hell, there is no relief. How you treated people, you'll be stuck with those memories forever. All that unforgiveness, all that bitterness, all that mean ways, you'll be stuck with that psychological torment forever. All memories, good or bad. I mean, the good memories are as bad as the bad memories. The good food, the vacations, the good moments, great times with family all around. Now nothing but loneliness. That's one thing about right now. People can't stand to be alone. People are depressed. They're mentally going through a lot of things. We see it. We saw the results of COVID when nobody could be around anyone. It was a torment for some people. Some people, I'm more introvert, but some people are very outgoing. They have to see people. They have to talk to people. They want to be around people, right? Imagine going to hell. You can't be around anyone. It's just you in a dark space burning forever. And you remember all those good moments in your life, but you can never have another good moment. It's a psychological torment like no other. The memories of regret. The memories of unforgiving. The conscience eating away. Things you wish you could erase. The things you could wish you could go and correct. Oh, we have the responsibility to communicate this to mankind. And then it's a personal torment. Look at this. He recognized Abraham. This is his personal experience. A person's experience, a person's favorite sins will torment them in hell. Hell will be personally fit for each individual soul. It'll be fit for you. I won't be able to, and look, I'm never going to go to hell, but I could never experience what he experienced, this man. He knew he was a child of Abraham. I'm not a child of Abraham. By faith, I'm one of his children, right? But I don't have Abraham blood in my veins. I'm not a child of Jacob. I'm not a child of Judah. I'm not a child of Isaac. But he was. He was a child of Abraham. He could truly sing the song. Child, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father. He could truly say that. This is his personal experience. The rich man was religious. He knew right from wrong. This is his personal torment. He can recognize Father Abraham. He knew who Father Abraham was. He had his heritage. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He knew. He knew Father Abraham, but he never had the faith of Father Abraham. He had his faith in the religion of Abraham, but not in the God of Abraham. For us churchgoers, this is a warning. I can tell you about a man who was a part of the greatest church. The greatest church. He had the greatest pastor. He went on soul winning adventures. He told people to escape hell. He preached the kingdom. He went out two by two. He delivered people from demons. The 70 came back. He delivered people from demons. His name starts with a J, ends with an S. Judas. He came back and said, Lord, the demons submit to us. That was all 70 of them. He told people in those cities, come, know the Christ. He told people. He preached good news. He kissed heaven's gates and went to hell anyway. What a sore soul. The worst thing you could do is go to hell in a Baptist church. The worst thing you could do tonight is go to hell and go live your whole childhood hearing the gospel and still go to hell. Your torment will be way worse than an atheist. Because you can look back at every message, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and you said, no, no, no. The college student atheists who's out there sleeping around, they don't have those regrets of hearing the gospel. That's the worst thing to go to hell. That's the worst way. At the feet of Jesus. Judas has probably the worst torment. Jesus washed his feet. What a torment. This is a personal torment. This is the reason why I'm a missionary. This is the reason why we started our mission in a land full of churches. Because hell is full of religious people. Judas, religious. Jesus tells us one story. One story about hell. He only gives one story about hell. It was a real story. It's real history. He could have gave us another one. He could have told us about a man who killed 20 people. He could have told us about a psychopath who went around raping women. He could have told us about an atheist.
But he talks about a man who was a son of Abraham. That's a warning. The religious go to hell. They're the number one. They're the number one people that's on Jesus' mind when he thinks about who's in hell. Religious people. Millions will be tormented by the sweet songs of by and by at the cross. Oh, what a horrible torment. But here's the worst part. Hell is forever. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The gulf between paradise and Hades was too vast. Too vast. It made going into hell impossible. And getting out of hell even more impossible. The simple fact that the rich man asked for Lazarus to come down shows hell is permanent. He couldn't go up. He wanted somebody to come down. There's no exits in hell. There's no get out of jail free cards. There's no way out. Jesus said it, Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting, infinite. There's no moving out. There's no end. The torment will be endless. The begging will have no end. A place prepared for the devil. Humans will experience the punishment. Oh, hell. It's everlasting. It is forever. But here's the good news tonight. Though hell can't help, though heaven can't even help, the people in heaven can't help. We can help. Let's read the rest of our scriptures. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto. Let's go back up to 27, excuse me. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, people in hell, sadly to say, people in hell are more concerned for the lost than people in the church.
That's right. That's right.
There's no one in hell that's not concerned for their family members right now. This man was concerned. Lord, I don't want them to come. Father, I don't want them to come here. I led them into sin. I showed my five brothers how to sin. I lived this type of life in front of them. I know my five brothers are on their way to this place. Send Lazarus. No. No. Not even a man in heaven right now, not even a person in heaven right now can come down and see people to get saved and get people to repent. That's what Abraham is saying. You know what he's saying to us? The word is sufficient to save. So, not some magical moment of 50 seconds in heaven. Not no silly book of some little boy going to heaven for 50 seconds. Not some man who says he went to heaven and saw Jesus. No special vision. He's not even talking about the New Testament. He's saying the Old Testament is sufficient. It's enough to save souls. It's enough to keep people out of hell. Hell can't help. Not even some people in heaven can help. But the Word of God. He's telling us only the living can help the living stay out of hell. Take that with you tonight, child of God. You have sufficient. You have enough to keep a soul from this place of torment. We have enough to see souls' lives change. People put on the straight and narrow. You have enough to see people to come to Jesus. I tell you, even Jesus today, if he walked this earth, you know what they would do? They'd crucify him. Resurrected or not, they'd crucify him. It's not some miracle that man needs. It's the word of God. Hell is the reason why we're still here today. Child of God. If God didn't want us here, he would have raptured us out of here already. But hell. He's placed you here for hell. To keep people out of hell. He's put you in the family that you're in. He put you around the co-workers you're around. Because people are in need of the gospel. And they need to escape hell. Let hell be your reason why. Why you keep going forward. Why you keep living a life for Jesus. Why you keep preaching Jesus. I tell you, sometimes if we lose our focus on our whys, we become weak, we become complacent. We become, I'm good, I'm saved and secure on my way to heaven. And we stop preaching the good news. We stop going on the Great Commission. We stop telling people about Jesus Christ. Don't be complacent in your Christian life. Don't see the Christian life as a way to live the American dream. But see the Christian life as a way to get sinners out of hell. Use what God has given you. Amen. He's left us with enough. And that is his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Let us go out with more resolve in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Oh Lord, but first, if someone here is lost and on their way to hell, Lord, let them recognize in their hearts of hearts that they have been rejecting you over and over and over again. And let tonight be the night that they repent. Let tonight be the night that they escape the fiery judgment. Let tonight be the night that they become born again, washed in your blood. Let tonight be that night. No man can be scared into hell, scared out of hell. No one can be scared into heaven. Your word is the power. The fact that you died on the cross for sinners. You were buried in that grave for 3 days. And you rose. You rose from the grave. You defeated the devil. You defeated death. You defeated the power of the devil. You defeated hell. You led captivity captive, Lord. You have delivered man. You have delivered sinners from hell. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I'm one of those sinners. I don't deserve it, but thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's in your power. All power is in your hand. You have the power of resurrection. Resurrect the soul tonight, I pray. Give us more fervency. Give us more urgency. The days are dark. The time is wearing on. Save to the utmost tonight, Lord. Save. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.